Blog Talk Radio.
The Late Hit Sports Podcast with Josh Taylor. While listening to this podcast, you may suffer from the following symptoms.
Increase in brain size, overwhelmed with how awesome this podcast is, and oh yeah, a warm, fuzzy feeling knowing that football season never left in the first place.
It's right behind you. Now, the Late Hit Sports Podcast with Josh Taylor.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Late Hit Sports Podcast. On today's show, we have a full table for you. NBA playoffs, game 1 last night. The Warriors were able to easily handle the Cleveland Cavaliers, as well as your typical LeBron James, Michael Jordan debate. Who's better? Who is the greatest of all time? Or is it even comparable because they're not from the same era? Also, our personal foul of the week will come on. Joining me today is Brandon Lowe, the host of the Brandon Lowe Show in Charleston, West Virginia, contributor for BlueGoldSports.com. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, man. Good to be here. It's Friday. It's the weekend right around the corner.
Right around the corner, just a few hours away. I'm excited to be here. Did you watch the game last night?
Oh, yeah, I watched the game last night. That was a lot of fun for anybody outside of Cleveland, I think.
Anybody, you're right. Well, really, the whole state of Ohio. I mean, I'm in Ohio, and everybody was just so distraught. They thought they had it won, and with Love and Irving healthy, unlike last year, and, of course, LeBron James, they thought they couldn't be touched this season. Needless to say, Golden State put a beat down on them.
Yeah, and, you know, it's crazy because the conversation going into this was that the Cavaliers were not healthy last year, so everybody kind of went against the Warriors winning the NBA championship last year. That was the question concerning the NBA title last year. Well, they didn't have Irving Love. Well, Irving Love's there, and it's funny because the whole storyline of this first game was not Klay Thompson. It wasn't Steph Curry. It was Sean Livingston, who scored a playoff high of 20 points. You had Sean Livingston. You had Barbosa, who hasn't came out like that since his days in Phoenix. And then Bogut did great. Harrison Barnes did tremendous. The bench at one point had 39 points to the Cavaliers 5. 39-5. I mean, it was embarrassing. And, you know, we're going to talk about this whole LeBron versus Jordan conversation, but I'd like anybody to challenge me and tell me when the last time Jordan got beat by the opposing team's bench.
He definitely got manhandled by the bench. To me, the Cavaliers, in the very beginning of the game, they didn't look bad. As the game progressed, they looked confused and irritated that they couldn't stop. I mean, it wasn't even Curry. Curry and Thompson, you're right, you know, they didn't have a good game. It was just the rest of the Golden State Warriors. So now what happens when Curry and Klay Thompson do step up? And they do. Each one scores 20, one scores 35. What are you going to do then? You're going to lose by almost 50 points.
Yep. I mean, it's crazy because at the half, combined, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, the Warriors' top two scorers, combined for 10 points at the end of the first half. 10 points.
Wow.
And they had a double-digit lead, I believe, at half, maybe 8-point lead, something like that. But I just want to know, where's LeBron? That's the whole thing that I have a problem with, is these big moments, these big, gigantic moments, like the NBA Finals. It seems like LeBron just goes into a shadow and hides. I mean, that's the problem. And we have such a love fest, LeBron James, throughout the country. Oh, he's the best. He's the best. Well, he is the best athlete in the world, but is he indeed the best player in the NBA right now? And I'm not sure if we can say that because he's out of his prime, for one, and where was he last night? Where was LeBron last night?
He wasn't anywhere to be found. That's something we'll get into with the LeBron and Jordan debate, and I can't wait to get into it. Like I told you last night, when I just kept thinking about it, and I kept getting more and more mad that we can even have this debate. But we'll get into that. Where did you have this playoffs going? Who'd you have winning, and how many games did you have them winning in?
Well, before I saw game one, I had the Warriors in 7. And the reason why I had the Warriors in 7 was based off the fact that the Cavaliers were healthy. Both teams are better than they were last year, so I gave the Cavaliers the benefit of the doubt. Now, I'm not one to overreact. I think one game doesn't necessarily define a series. That's certainly common knowledge. But there are some concerns from game one that we just discussed. Curry and Thompson were not Curry and Thompson we're used to seeing, and the Golden State Warriors just handled the Cavaliers. So, you know, I had a bunch of friends in Ohio saying, well, I thought I was going to go five games Cavaliers. I'm like, you seriously think the Warriors are going to win one game in the entire series? So this probably shut up a lot of people in Ohio for sure. But I still stick by seven games. I don't think the Cavaliers will go quietly. I think they'll certainly win the games that they need to win. And with the format, the 2-2 and the 1-1-1, the Cavaliers certainly could steal one. I do think it goes seven games, though. I think the Warriors do take the series, but I do think it goes seven games still.
I was on the verge of, I thought I was going to go six games, and the Warriors were going to win in six games. I'm not so sure it won't only go five games now. I mean, Cleveland has not beat Golden State this year. The very first time they played them, they lost by six, seven, something like that. Second time they played them, they lost by 40, and then they lose by what, 15 last night?
Yeah.
So nothing has been proven that Cleveland can beat Golden State. So for all I know, we could go, they could sweep them four games to none. I can't tell. Well, because I haven't seen Cleveland be able to put a complete game against Golden State this year.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is I told everybody this that was so high up on the Cavs. The Western Conference is not the Eastern Conference. You can say whatever the heck you want to say about, you know, oh, the Cavs were 12-2 entering the finals in the playoffs. The Warriors wouldn't have lost one game if they were in the Eastern Conference going throughout these playoffs. And every key of this game that I talked about that the Warriors needed to do, they did it. They contained the pick and roll. When it went isolation and it went LeBron's hands, they kept him from the basket because LeBron James is going to drive the ball 15% of the time that he has the ball in his hands in isolation. So, and LeBron missed a lot of open layups. I mean, how many great players miss open layups? Open layups. I mean, my son can hit open layups. So, I mean, I don't understand – I don't understand how you can miss open layups. I understand that your shooting ability from the outside has decreased based off the fact that he's getting older. He's losing his legs a little bit. I think they did like a stat up too that about, I think like 70% of his shots are in the paint or something like that in the playoffs at this point. But he just looked, I mean, and can we just get a stat check from last night too? I mean, I made a joke to my wife. I was like, how did LeBron have a double-double last night? I don't even – and that's the thing that's so crazy is the fact that he had a double-double and nobody noticed. That's how crazy that is. It didn't even matter.
it was unbelievable. You would have never guessed by the way they got blown out and the way they play that he would have had a double-double. And that leads us to our next topic, the LeBron James versus – Michael Jordan debate and who's the greatest of all time. One thing that really irritates me is that people say you can't compare the two because they're in different eras. So why do we say Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time then? Because there was eras before him. We don't say Michael Jordan's the greatest of his era. We say Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time. So obviously we have to compare and contrast different eras to get the greatest of all time. Do you think LeBron James is the greatest of all time?
No, absolutely not. And you know, I'm not a LeBron hater by any means. I still say my favorite LeBron was when he was playing in Miami, just because I liked the storyline. I liked him being a villain. I felt like he had that killer instinct that he needed, like a Michael Jordan or even a Kobe Bryant. When people make these comparisons to LeBron and Jordan. When I think of Jordan, the closest to Jordan to me was Kobe Bryant. Just the way he played, the way he carried himself, that championship, the drive, everything about Kobe to me was way closer to Jordan. LeBron to me is a Magic Johnson type player, especially at this point in his career where he's finding open guys. He's not taking the big shots anymore. He's finding a Love or an Irving or somebody else on the Cavs team to make the big shot. He never, and the thing that's the difference between LeBron and Jordan, LeBron shies away from the spotlight, and Jordan never shied away from the big shot and the spotlight. Jordan wanted the ball no matter what. And that's the difference between LeBron and Jordan. And outside of the other things I just mentioned, and again, when did Jordan get beat by an opposing team's bench? I'll wait for that answer.
Well, when did Jordan get beat in the finals? Oh, he didn't.
Exactly. Exactly. 6-0. And before we get into that, though, we could also argue, though, that LeBron playing against the Western Conference, it is a tougher overall Western Conference based – I mean, if you look at Jordan and the Western Conference teams he faced back when he played, there were some tough Western Conference teams. I mean, obviously Utah, Seattle had a team. The Trailblazers did okay. There were some tough teams, the Phoenix Suns when they had Charles Barkley. But if you really look at the Western Conference now, you could argue that the Western Conference right now is the toughest we've seen in a long time compared to when Jordan was playing. So I will give LeBron the benefit of the doubt that it is tougher to play against most Western Conference teams in those NBA Finals than what Jordan faced. Now, Jordan did face a lot of Hall of Famers, Charles Barkley, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Clyde Drexler. I mean, there was a lot of Hall of Famers he faced, but it's not to say that LeBron hasn't faced future Hall of Famers as well. One of them, right off the top, Tim Duncan is one of those. And all those Spurs are going to be in the Hall of Fame. And you're going to have to think that Kevin Durant's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and Curry's probably going to be on his way to the Hall of Fame. So you can argue that the Western Conference at this point is tougher in this era than it was when Jordan played.
Well, I can see where you get – Your 6-0 finals where the Western Conference is harder now than what it was then, but also then for Jordan to get to the Western or the final NBA Finals, he had to go through the East, which is harder then than it is now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think it kind of evens out to me. The thing I hate most about LeBron, he is so egotistical, it drives me crazy. When you have to have a show to announce where you're going to take your talents, when you took your talents to South Beach, that shows how arrogant and egotistical you really are. And I tell you, that drives me crazy. I'm not judging him. Is he better than Jordan because of that? But you were a free agent. What has every other free agent done in the history of the game if they went to a different team? ESPN, Fox Sports, somebody, some beat writer, breaks that you're leaving for the Heat or you're leaving for the Warriors, anybody like that. You don't sit down and have a TV show about your decision to take your talents to South Beach. That irritates me so bad, I can't stand it.
Well,
not only that,
I'll defend that in a second. I'll let you finish.
Well, you never saw Jordan do it. So Jordan, to me, was classier than LeBron. When LeBron comes back to Cleveland, you remember that little heartfelt note that was given to, I believe, the owner of Cleveland or the city of Cleveland from LeBron about his decision to come back? Do you remember that?
Yeah, it actually was in Sports Illustrated.
I can tell you, he did not write that. He did not write that one bit. There's no way that comes from LeBron. That comes from a publicist or someone else because he doesn't care that much. And when you hear him talk after the game, it's all about me. We've seen a transition here lately to more about the team, which you have to because you've been criticized your whole career about me. I never heard Jordan say that stuff.
Yeah. Well, here's how I'll start with the TV special that he had. The only thing that to me is different between LeBron and Jordan as far as media and things of that sort. LeBron deals with social media and networks coming at him for coverage, and he gave the proceeds of that TV special to, I believe, some charity. So it's not like he made money off of it, and ESPN got ratings. So it was kind of like a win-win. I think LeBron at times tries to be too nice of a guy to everyone, but then comes off kind of smug when answering questions in the media. I wish I could get the LeBron that when he's asked a question, he just gives them a great answer. When I say great answer, he gives them an actual answer. He sits there and he avoids every single bit of a question that's asked about him. He always wants to take it to his history and how he's accomplished more than anybody would ever doubt him. This is a guy that, of course, grew up in harsh conditions growing up as a kid. We get that. But this is a guy that at a young age in high school was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He was constantly brought up in national media from the get-go when he first started really coming on the landscape. This guy was in speculation of the Hummer. I remember his Hummer that he had. I think his mother had a Hummer when he was in high school, and people were wondering how his mother had a Hummer already before he was even making money in the NBA. So this guy was like constantly – people were after him. People wanted coverage. ESPN knew that this was going to get ratings. And him being a nice guy said, why not? I'll announce it. Was it a good move? Probably not, because that was just like basically this rubbing in salt into the wounds already when you're already leaving your hometown team that you told that you would never leave in the first place. So I do agree with you. He should have never went on TV. I think there was better intentions than most people think from LeBron, but I think, and he even said himself that he regrets doing it and he should have never did it. And I think at the time, he also had this this vendetta against Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavs. He wanted to look in that camera. He wasn't looking at America. He wasn't looking at Cleveland. He was looking at Dan Gilbert when he said he's going to take his talents to South Beach. That was personal for him to Dan Gilbert, and that's why, to me, the ultimate motive of him going on TV was Dan Gilbert, and that's basically what I think it was.
So then why go back? For the fans, the Cleveland fans?
Yeah. Yeah, I think what happened, and I don't know, you know, I don't understand it. I don't understand the move, because what he had in Miami, here's a theory I have. I think he knew that Dwayne Wade was aging, and Dwayne Wade is aging. He's had his problems with his knees for several years now. Chris Bosh, as we know, hasn't played most of the season, if any of the season. I think he played a little bit in the beginning of the season, and then he didn't play any in the playoffs. So, you know, you look at the Miami Heat, it's a great ran franchise with Pat Riley. Eric Spoelstra does a good job with the talent he has there. He still has an aging Dwayne Wade. He has Whiteside. You see what the Heat did this year without a LeBron James. So it's a franchise that's run well, and it's Miami. I mean, you got Miami Beach. There's no state tax. It's a great place to be. But I think LeBron ultimately, I think he's just that – I don't know how to figure out LeBron, because he wants to be the bad man that – you know, has this, you know, chip on his shoulder, but then he's the nice guy who thinks he needs to make up with Cleveland and go back and, you know, make up with Dan Gilbert. And by the way, let me ask you this, Josh. If somebody had a letter, okay, Dan Gilbert wrote a letter. Once LeBron left, you remember that letter Dan Gilbert wrote and had on Cleveland Cavaliers right. website the entire time LeBron was gone. Would you go back somewhere where they held a statement or a letter about you on their website for that long? I got to tell you, I'm a good guy, but I'm not that good of a guy.
Absolutely not. And I think the only reason LeBron went back was because of the fans and the fans only. And he felt like he owed something to them, even though you should have never left in the first place. I mean, I understand it's business, but if you were ever going to come back, then you shouldn't have left. If at any time during your TV show that I still don't agree with, if you thought there was a chance that you could go back to Cleveland one day, I wouldn't have left. Because now you have to win a title. You can't leave again. I don't care if you get swept these finals, you can't leave. You will be the biggest villain in the NBA no matter what. You cannot leave. Another reason that I think he's overhyped. Don't get me wrong, he's one of the greatest to play. But when we make that comparison to Michael Jordan, I think he's overhyped. I think he's a top 10 player. I don't even know about top 5. But from day one, from the day he came out of high school and got drafted, even when he was in high school, he was being compared to Michael Jordan. So when yeah. you're a 17-year-old high school athlete, you're getting these kind of comparisons. You have to play to a certain level. And no matter what you do, when they start comparing you that young, it's always going to happen. And a lot of people are just going to say you don't compare because you got overhyped in the first place. So I don't agree with it. I don't think he's the next Michael Jordan. I'd take Kobe Bryant and his prime over LeBron James and his prime. And everybody says, well, LeBron James makes a team. He may make this Cleveland team, which I think this Cleveland team still makes the playoffs without him. They're not in the Eastern Conference Finals, or they wouldn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I still think they make the playoffs. But let's say you took Kobe off the Lakers and you put LeBron in. Do the Lakers make the playoffs then? I don't think so.
No, no.
So just because you can build this great team around him and you got Love and Kyrie, I think they'd be in the playoffs with Love and Kyrie on the team. And say you still had Andrew Wiggins and you have Love and Kyrie. That's a playoff team in the Eastern Conference. Maybe not in the Western Conference,
yeah.
But that's a playoff team in the Eastern Conference. But if you take LeBron and replace him with Kobe and the Lakers, they're not making the playoffs. When you're 2-4, to be great, you have to be clutch. When you're 2-4 in the finals, you're not clutch. You haven't carried your team to championships. You had to go get help to get your championships, but you haven't carried a team to championships. I just don't see the comparison, and I can't stand that anybody would say LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan, or even Kobe Bryant for that matter.
I agree. Well, I think Kobe's closest, and the reason why also I like Kobe over LeBron as far as the closest to Jordan is you just mentioned it. Kobe made players around him better. The same thing Michael Jordan did. Now Jordan did have Pippen, and he had some, but he had role players. I mean, that's really what he had. That's what the Bulls were outside of when they got Rodman and all that stuff. But Jordan made guys better around him, and Kobe did the same thing. Now, we can't talk about Kobe now at the end of his career because he was older. He was plagued with injuries. That's not Kobe's fault, okay? But the Kobe when he was in his prime and he was – and, of course, he had Shaq for a little bit. But after Shaq, you know, he had Pau Gasol and all that stuff. But he made better – he made everybody around him better. And that's what makes great players as well. Not necessarily just championships and your record in championships. Or how many points you score that night. It has a lot to do with how you influence your other teammates around you, how you motivate them, and if you're a leader on the court. And LeBron lacks a lot of those abilities and a lot of that.
You're right. I agree. And I think that I don't think the comparison's there. And this whole segment brings us onto our new piece that we're going to start doing every week called Personal Foul. So let's go ahead and get that started.
This week's personal foul.
Personal foul. 69. Offense. He's giving them the business.
He said he's giving them the business. Isn't that great? Well, the personal foul that we're going to do this week is Nick Wright of Fox Sports. He's a radio show host. He was in Houston and went to Fox Sports. And all, this whole show ties in together. It's all LeBron. It's all playoffs. It's all debating it. And what he said on The Herd yesterday on Colin Cowherd's show, The Herd, on Fox Sports 1, is that Golden State's arrogance is so bad right now, even though they earned it, that LeBron is a lovable underdog of the NBA Finals. I've never heard anyone outside of Ohio say that they love LeBron and they're going to cheer on the Cavaliers because of LeBron and because Golden State is arrogant. I don't see a lot of arrogance from Golden State, but if they are, who cares? They earned it. They went 73-9 in the regular season. They were down 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals to a pretty damn good team in Oklahoma City, and they came back and beat them. So who cares if they're arrogant? They haven't been stopped. They haven't – nobody has seen that they can be stopped. If you want to be arrogant, because unless somebody can stop you, you have the right. And to say that LeBron James was a lovable underdog, he's not lovable at all in the first place. And, yeah, they're an underdog because his team isn't as good as Golden State's. His team, remember how we talked about the bench compared to the bench? for Golden State and Cleveland, your team is not as good. You may be better than one individual player on that team, but your team is not as good. And for Nick Wright to talk about Golden State's arrogance, who cares? They earned it. Did they not,
yeah.
Brandon?
Yeah, absolutely. We got 25 seconds, and our outro is about 14 seconds. But, yeah, certainly, I agree with you. But we got to get out of here, and so we'll talk to them tomorrow. Or not tomorrow, but next week.
We'll see you next Wednesday, 1 p.m. Like us on Facebook, Late Hit Sports.
The Late Hit Sports Podcast. If you missed the show live, all episodes are archived right here on blogtalkradio.com and available now on iTunes.